Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts as they share with you the insider's guide to property investing.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch, your insider's guide to property investing. I'm Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel. He's Ben Kingsley, the chair of the Property Investment Professionals of Australia and the current Property Investment Advisor of the Year. How are you, mate?
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Very well. You haven't mentioned anything about the fact that my team is sitting on the top of the ladder, 10 points clear, whilst your side's only just scraped through for a win last week against almost bottom side Carlton. Mate, you've been very, very quiet on the tips.
Oh, look, can I say that, because I don't think Freo have got a hope in hell. Like, it's all well and good. I know a team that's finished on top of the ladder so many times and hasn't brought home the chocolates on the last day of September.
Yes, another minority team in a minority town, which is pulled out.
Look, it's belief. I mean, Ross Lyon does a great job with his people. Yeah. He obviously gives them to that. But at the end of the day, they've got to get out there and execute on the big stage, and that I think they'll get a bit of stage fright still.
Well, I think if any of the Freo Dockers are listening, they should listen to us today, because we're going to talk about the 7 habits of highly effective people, and then we're going to relate that to property investors, so they might be able to use that on 7 habits of highly effective Premiership Cup holders at the end
the
season.
Maybe we should have a bet. Okay. You know, if Freo win the grand final, what do I do?
Or a pink tutu in the middle of the MCG?
Oh, no, I'll go and work a soup kitchen for a day or something like that. There you go. How's that sound?
There you go, folks. You heard it here first.
And you've got to, now next week, you've got to come up with what you'd do if Freo don't win the grand final.
Mate, that's a bit unfair.
Well, you're wrapping them up. You're the one talking about the book on top of the ladder.
That's all I talked about. I didn't talk about the Premiership. I just talked about the top of the ladder. All right, let's get back to business here. Stephen Covey wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Ben. I just thought it'd be a bit of fun for us to, because I think sometimes when we're freestyling, we can pull out some of those nuggets we haven't thought of for a little while about how they apply to property investing. So I thought we'd give it a go today of those 7 habits. So we'll kick it off with habit number 1, which is all about being proactive. And essentially for his idea of the books, just take responsibility for your life. So how do you see that applying to property investing?
Well, I just see it applying to life in general. I mean, property investment is just part of a bigger moving picture that is your life and what you're trying to do for you and your family and your own personal goals. So for me, you know, in reaching out to the listeners, I'd be saying this is an example of people being proactive. By just listening to this podcast is a great example of people wanting to make change or open to the idea of change. So that, to me, is a great step forward. And it's those smaller steps. And from, you know, little things, big things come. And I think that's really important. And it's the same thing with, you know, if you're trying to be coached or you're trying to be the best you can be, there's at some point in time, you're going to reach to a position where you're going to need some guidance. And so, but it's really about you wanting to make that change and being proactive.
I think that's a good thing, because most, there's only 1 in 11 working Australians actually buy an investment property. And we've talked numerous times that 73% of all property investors stop at once. So it's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by default.
Absolutely.
You have to get out of your chair and actually get the information and be prepared to maybe overcome some conditioning. Because my parents did a wonderful job providing for me when I was growing up. But my dad was pre-baby boomer. So it was of that generation where you work hard, a good day's pay for a good day's work versus, you know, leveraging and getting, getting your money working smarter. So I had to be proactive to break that conditioning to be able to invest in property in the first place. Because let's be honest, we live in a country with tall poppy, where if you take a step forward, the pack's always wanting to hold you back. So to buy investment property is not easy. I say it's simple, but it's not easy. So you actually have to realize that it's not going to come to you. Financial freedom is not for everyone unless you actually take steps forward to make it happen.
Get a qualification, son, and get a good job and just bring home the bacon. Yeah, the world has changed.
The old rich dad, poor dad philosophy. So for me, be proactive. And I'd say, try to break conditioning, understand, and like you said, listen to the information we've got in the podcast and try and make better decisions around managing your money and live for tomorrow as well as living for today. So the first habit is be proactive. So we're suggesting that you've got to get out of your chair and actually make something happen. Number 2, this is easy, Ben, begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, look, I mean, I often refer to this as plan to become what you plan to become. And this is a massive part of anyone who's going on a property investment journey. And my example in terms of, You know, I was in my late 20s. I was starting to get serious about marrying my future wife at the time, which is Jane. And we'd had, you know, a couple of properties in the portfolio at that stage, and we were trying to work out, you know, how do we go forward? You know, do I buy another property now when I know that I've also going to have to buy a family home? So there was all those things going on, and that just sort of really highlighted to me that you can't just do those back of envelope calculations. I mean, these are big decisions around big dollar amounts. So from that point of view, my idea was that if there was something out there, and I went looking for something in regards to who, you know, what's available to me to actually guide me, some advisors, and a lot of them could give me some rough calculations, but no one could give me that enormous sort of reverse engineered simulated calculation. So I'm one of those people that, like, I couldn't find it, so I built it with obviously one of our business partners. So that's an example for me where, and now, you know, I've advised on over $600 million worth of property investments using that simulation software. So for me, that's a big one.
Yeah, that was a cornerstone of a number of early conversations that you and I had. You know, we mutually knew each other independently before we got to know each other better. But when you showed me the simulator that you'd built, for me, that was the missing piece.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've been involved in this industry for 16 years. Most of the time, most people's strategy was, hey, you've got some equity, you should buy something. And that's as simple as the strategy got. Whereas you unpacked it down to understanding that most people who have a material income look to park it in residential real estate, typically in their principal place of residence. So therefore, most people have a mortgage. So understanding household cash flows first and then looking for surpluses to invest was just a masterstroke. And then sort of having the end goal and working backwards to reverse engineer that, again, I've talked about it before. That was that was an eye-opener for me.
Because what's one of the biggest mistakes people make in property investment? They buy not thinking more than a couple of years ahead. So I don't know how many people that I've spoken to, oh yeah, we sold that one. We needed to sell it because we needed to buy a home. Well, how long did you hold it for? 3 years. Oh, how did you go? Oh, went up about 80,000. And I said, well, so you lost money on it. Oh no, I said it went up. I said, well, wait a minute, you got to pay capital gains plus the holding. So it's just, you know, people just make silly decisions through not forward planning and looking beyond the now. You know, look, most people are going to live to their 90s. You know, so it's a really important thing. If we're going to have to build a wealth base up for a significant amount of money, this money is going to potentially have to last us 30 years if we're going to retire in our 60s. So it's really important.
Last week we talked about exit strategy. That's part of Begin With The End In Mind.
Correct.
With respect to property investment, know where you're heading and then work out the steps that you need to do. I always say, there was a book I read, I'll see it when I believe it, which is the reverse of I'll believe that when I see it. And I think that's part of it. It's visualising what you want. As soon as you see it first, then you can believe it. So it's a bit of that. Okay, habit three, put first things first. And the author sort of prioritising, planning and executing tasks based on what's important. So we've got lots to talk about here.
Yeah, we do. I mean, for me, this is, I rabbit on about this all the time, but it's big rocks in the jar. You know, understanding the big rocks first into the jar is an absolute critical thing because, again, it's about making sure that you don't have to reverse engineer or make adjustments or take detours. So don't sweat the small things. Basically, focus on the big things, and the small things usually take care of themselves. But if you can understand what are the most important things to you and align them to your value set, because at the end of the day, money, trust me, guys, it doesn't buy happiness. All it does is buy time and choice. And it's what you do with that that allows you to be the person you want to be, and that's fulfilling. Because as people go on this personal journey of not only wealth creation, but just, you know, in terms of their own inner understanding of who they are and what life's all about for them, it's about trying to find fulfillment in that. And so, you know, there's people out there that haven't been able to take their money with them. You know, Steve Jobs is a perfect example, but he did live a very fruitful life in terms of what he left as a legacy, which is his business, but at the sacrifice of what? You know, if you ask his kid, did they ever see him? Probably not.
You always say that the state of your mind is determined by the state of your wallet. And I think if you don't want to live life with that anxiety that comes from worrying about the month to month, you need to be comfortable with delayed gratification. So if you put first things first, you know, the big rocks in the jar, that analogy I reckon is a great one because, you know, it's like the jar, you put all these rocks in and then you ask the person, is there anything less? Is it full? And they go, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden they bring some pebbles and they fill around the rocks with the pebbles and they go, yeah, is there any room left? And you go, no, it's totally full. Then they grab some sand and they put the sand into the jar and then sand goes right to the top of the jar and they go, is there anything left now? And they go, surely not. And they go, actually, and they grab a jug of water and they tip the water in and then they totally, it's full. But the important part about that is if they didn't put the big rocks in first, they would have never got in there.
Correct, they wouldn't have fit.
So ultimately here, it's about prioritising what you want, being prepared to have some form of delayed gratification and then putting a plan in place to get it. So all good stuff there. Number four, think win-win.
Yeah, so with think win-win, for me, this was, you know, in terms of, when I don't talk about the business very much, but I'm going to talk about Empower Wealth now, which is the business that obviously we work in. And one of the big decisions in terms of starting this business was, what was the purpose? Why are we doing this? And for me, it was about changing people's lives. So I'm very fortunate that I'm in a financial position that I don't have to worry too much because I started investing in property when I was 23. So the big one was this, you know, how do I give back? And also, how do I make sure that the people's lives that I touch, I make a positive impact on? And they obviously pay me for that time. And so that's the win-win for me. And you know, we've got a slogan in our business, which is about building wealthier tomorrows for our clients. But really, what we are about is changing people's lives for the better. And all that money does is give people choices, and hopefully they can make the right choices with that money that we create for them to live a fulfilling life.
My favourite quote, Zig Ziglar, you get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. And I read that when I was 18, and I've tried to live my life professionally and personally by that, and I've seen that it actually does happen. So that's a think win-win scenario.
It's a cracking one.
If I'm negotiating, I'm often trying to think win-win. I'm not trying to actually negotiate at the expense of the vendor. I'm trying to better understand what it is. You know, first seek to understand and then be understood is one later. I'm trying to actually find out what's going on for this vendor to distract them from price. Do they need a long settlement? Do they need a short settlement? Do they actually need, is there a divorce and they just want to get out? Are they under an order? I'm trying to understand what's going to make a win for them so that I can structure my negotiation so it's a win for my client as well. So in the context of actually buying property for clients, within negotiation, I'm always trying to think win-win.
Well, that's right, Bryce. I mean, there's so many BAs out there, buyer's agents, who think that the best way to approach it is to smash up the agent and think they're going to do the best deal for the client. We've heard stories of the vendor hearing that message through their agent saying, I don't want them to get it. So I don't care. I've heard stories of people selling for less, $5,000 less to another party because they had a connection. And then that connection was, so tell me about the people who want to buy my house. Oh, they're a young couple and this is their dream home and they want to start a family. Well, that's important to me. The $5,000 extra, the $10,000 extra for someone coming in and being arrogant about it and trying to, you know, to pull my pants down and you know, do a bad thing, that's not what it's about. So, you know, from that point of view, that's what I'm, you know, that there's really good message in trying to understand how you can get the best outcome. Still working hard, of course. You're trying to get the best result. But there's good ways and bad ways to go about it. And those people get reputations out in the industry and everyone knows that, oh, don't deal with them. You know, and they try not to let them win the property and they don't get the off markets. So there is a lot of that sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I was going to say that because it's a really good point that I see the real estate agent as an asset in my business. And it's not necessarily the same for our listeners if they're only buying one property every year, but I'm buying multiple properties every week. So I'm thinking win-win with the agent. How can I make sure that I'm the guy that he rings when he has got an off market? Because that's going to benefit my client, absolutely, which again ties into win-win. My client wins, that agent wins, and everyone wins. So it's all about seeing the bigger picture here and not seeing it as a zero-sum game where if I win and you lose, let's try and make sure that everyone feels good about the transaction and we can move forward. So habit number four, think win-win. Habit number five, seek first understand, then be understood. And I've got a view that, you know, a man convinced against his will remains unconvinced still. So if you don't get to understand what's going on for that person first, you're never going to get them to change their mind. And I think too often people are trying to think from their own perspective rather than thinking about who they're talking to or their target market. So for me as a buyer's agent, first seek to understand. I want to know what the tenants want in a particular market so that I've got a better understanding about what sort of properties I should buy for my clients, because typically they're never going to live in it. So whether or not I buy a four-bedroom house but there's no market for it because the tenants are all cosmopolitan, want to, apartments, or the other way around, I've got to understand that first before I'm trying to understand my own position as an investor.
Look, that's a great point. And the way you describe that saying at the start, that's just gold. Have another listen to that, everyone. That's really, really important. From an advisory point of view, when I'm sitting down with a client, there's a couple of questions I'll always ask. The first one is, why are we doing this? And if I get a response of, the money, I need more. Because the reality is that they haven't thought further than that. And so just trying to give them the money or be aggressive about money is not going to be fulfilling for them in the longer term. And in most cases, will make them make decisions just purely blindfolded or with the blinkers on around trying to get that outcome. So when you're thinking about why are we going on this journey of using property as a wealth creation tool, you want to ask yourself, why are we doing this? So in other words, is it to support the kids? Is it to have a good, comfortable retirement? Is it to give, you know, to generate more income for medical needs for a family member? Is it to create a legacy? Those types of things are where you'll get real results and build trust in terms of having that relationship. And the next one I ask is, so have you had a bad experience in the past? Most people, you know, the 73% example of where, you know, people stop at just one property, some people basically then judge their decisions based on just that one bad outcome. And trust me, we know there's a lot of people who have bought rubbish properties out there, and that's what this podcast is all about, trying to stop those disasters. So for me, I do want to spend some time in understanding how those experiences have gone and what has been positive about them, what's been negative about them, because ultimately you're going to have to build a team of people around you who can help you on that journey.
Very good point. Often I get the blanket statement where someone says, I just will never buy an apartment. I just don't like apartments.
Yeah.
So if I just launch into, you should buy an apartment, they're a great asset class, you know, yeah, ignore 94. Again, they're not going to listen until I better understand. And quite often it's usually, look, I don't like body corporates. And so when we unpack that, I say, look, what if you were to buy within a body corporate that only had 6 or 8 other people in the building, in the body corporate? And what if you understood that the body corporate isn't someone with a big stick making all the rules, but someone who's actually just acting on behalf of all of the owners? And if there's only 6 or 8 of you, you guys have a collective voice. Versus if you're bought into 1 of 300, you can get lost in the numbers and not have a collective voice. So if I best understand first why they say I don't want to buy an apartment, then I can come from a position of helping them understand why it is, in certain circumstances, certain types of apartments actually do make for a good investment.
Yeah, and obviously I do a free 1-hour consultation when I'm talking to people. That's the no obligation stuff. I mean, I want to connect with the person. I want to build a relationship. We're not interested in transactions. And if you're dealing with advisors, the same thing. If they're trying to flog you a product, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, run a mile. If they're there to add value and add independence and add opinion, then that's good. So in that first hour, 40 minutes of it is asking questions and listening to seek understanding first, and then trying to get, as you're saying, sort of ratchet out that information about I hate apartments. Well, factually, you could potentially get an apartment that performs better than a house out in the outer suburbs. Really?
Mm.
You know, so it is, but you've got to back it up with facts. So, you know, you bring out the examples and you show the facts, and so all of a sudden their mind opens to new ideas, as opposed to, you know, that closed-minded attitude. If you have a closed-minded attitude, you're more than likely going to not, you know, proceed in terms of getting the best results you can possibly get.
There you go, folks. Habit number five, seek first to understand and then be understood. So that's how we'd apply that to property investing. Okay, habit number 6, synergize. When I decided that, when I thought this would be a great idea to maybe share some of our insights to our listeners, it could have been quite easy for me to sort of say, well, I'm going to do this podcast on my own. I'll stand on the shoulders of giants. I've got this profile that comes from being with Foxtel. But for me, synergizing was everything, because I always think that I think I might steal one of your...
No, go for your life, mate.
If you're the smartest person in your group, you're in trouble. And I quickly acknowledge that in this duo here, I'm not the smartest person. So
well, it actually... Who is? Can't be me.
Your good self is,
rubbish.
And you do know that. But teaming up with you made for great synergy in terms of what we're doing, because you bring a wealth of experience from growing up on the East Coast. I bring some experience growing up on the West Coast. I got experience as a buyer's agent for owner-occupiers and investors in my role as a show. You're building portfolios every day. You've got a history of mortgage broking. That's why, you know, some of the reasons why you were awarded the Property Investment Advisor of the Year. So it just made sense for me to synergize so that I could actually build a better information set to our podcast so that our listeners could benefit from that. So in terms of synergizing in terms of the podcast, that's what we did. But in terms of synergizing out in the marketplace, I don't want to run around to the bank and find my own loan when I can go to an investment savvy mortgage broker who's dealing with it all the time, knows structure better than I do, knows the ins and outs of a lender's products better than I do, and he can put that, he or she can put that together for me in my best interest. That makes sense to synergize.
It does. And, you know, the same sort of thing. I do an incredible amount of analysis work on property investments. And, you know, one day, hopefully in the not too distant future, in the next couple of weeks, I'd like to show our listeners on the website some of the new research tools that we're building. But in doing that, I still talk to great people, thought leaders in our industry, such as Peter Kalousos, the property professor, Damien Collins, you got Margaret, Jan Summers originally. So I've read the books, Noel Whittaker, you know, sort of Alan Kohler, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, because it's not just about the property, it's also about the execution, and it's about understanding psychology of money. You know, money's just a commodity, but a lot of people look at money and it controls them. You need to change that psychology around and control money, because it's the biggest commodity in the world, and that's all it is. In fact, if you actually sat down for a second, picked out a plastic note and looked at it, it's just plastic. You know, a dollar value represents what it's worth, but if you start to understand that it's a commodity, and when you invest in a commodity and you get more of that commodity back, that's when you start to make the breakthrough moments around lack of procrastination and all of those types of things. So, you know, I'm one of these people that says you've got to collaborate. And so this collaboration is a great example of that. And we've got people in our business, and that's why we build a business of specialists, because the same thing, you can't be a jack, you know, can't be a master of one trade but a jack of all trades. So I always try and make sure that you get around that way by bringing in these absolute elite specialists. And if we haven't got them, go and talk to them. So I'm still learning, you know, and I'm sure the best tennis players on the planet and the best coaches are still trying to get an edge. They're still trying to learn something. And so that to me is about, yeah, if you're the smartest person doing property investing and you've never really done it before, or you've done one or two of them, why wouldn't you leverage from someone who's done over 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 transactions? Just makes perfect sense to me.
Mate, the elite performers that I see are people who read books consistently. Some of the best elite might, you know, I bang on about Tim Ferriss all the time. He's reading 4 or 5 books a week. I can't get that, but I'm trying. I'm always reading something. I'm always listening to podcasts, and I know that's a fact with you as well.
Yep.
That you're absolutely always looking to do what Habit 7 is, so I won't preempt that. Teamwork makes the dream work.
It does.
Teamwork makes the dream work, and a champion team will always beat a team of champions.
Oh, well, that's very true, and we know that from the AFL experience as well.
Yes. You're talking about Fremantle?
Champion team. Well, look, actually, they don't have too many superstars other than that Fife and you know,
Only the probable Brownlow medals.
Oh, he will be the Brownlow, not probably. They've already paid out on him, and so they should. He's a superstar.
Well, he's got 4 rounds to still get suspended.
Well, look at Pav. I mean, he was a superstar too in his day, and he's still holding his own at, you know, 34 years of age or whatever he is. So he's a superstar.
Habit number 7, and this wraps around all of the 6 habits, and it's sharpening the saw. Iron sharpens iron. Where the mind goes, the body follows. So for me, it's around I'm always surrounding myself with property investors, people who are smarter than me, and I'm always looking for opportunities to learn more, know more, do more, and fine-tune everything that I know about sharpening the saw. So I think the obvious one here is the podcast.
For
property investors.
So again, you know, another sort of reach out and say congratulations. If you've gone through all of the podcasts and you're at this particular one, you are now one of the more smarter people who are thinking about property. And what's interesting, and if you're listening to this, I'd be really fascinated to know whether everything that we've talked about is common sense. Like, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the trees between the woods type thing. Well, everything that we've been talking about in this podcast and our synergies and our analogies, and that is through thought leadership. But in fact, we back it up and we support it with evidence. And when I first started in property investment, and obviously, you know, generally as a young, you know, teenager, I was interested in wealth creation. And one of the things, obviously, the Warren Buffetts of this world and all of the superstars of investing. And it's what's really important there for me was around, you know, they were still learning, they were still doing their craft. And I just said, if I'm going to go into this property space, I want to be the best that I can be. And so, you know, if I am a thought leader now or seen as a thought leader in the property investment space from an analysis point of view, then, you know, and I've been doing this now for 20 years, then that's great. It means, but I'm still learning, you know, and have I found Nirvana? No. And will I find Nirvana? I mean, is investing a perfect science? No, it's not. But I'm with new data coming through and with the ability to treat that data in a machine learning capability, it's getting more and more exciting about getting more and more precise around value and area and timing of area. So that's the exciting part for me.
Very, very good. I think it's all very, very good stuff. So there you have it, folks. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. We've now just implemented that into the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Property Investors. Before we go, we've got a quick question that's around mindset. From DeJoy. Now, I don't think DeJoy would mind us saying that he's actually a client of Empower Wealth. He's been through our planning process. I've helped him buy a couple of properties. He's bought some really great properties. He's a real student of life, listens to lots and lots of podcasts. He reads lots and lots of books. And a big shout out to DeJoy, because I know he'll be listening. Bryce and Ben, firstly, congratulations on the fantastic podcast and thank you for sharing knowledge with listeners like myself. Personally, I've added a few things to my toolkit as a result of listening to this. We are aware that most property investors don't get past one or two properties at best, and whilst a lot of it is due to lack of property investing knowledge or not knowing the formula, my question to you is this. In your opinion, how important is having the right mindset, i.e. the desire to do well, delayed gratification, etc., play in the scheme of things? What are the specific traits of successful people you've seen over the years, including yourselves, and what are the things they do think act differently to the 7 out of 10 people who stop at 2 investment properties? Really, really good question.
That's
there.
That's a great question.
DeJoy, really great question. I think our mindset is only everything. And I think because previous generations were conditioned to pay cash for everything, be fearful of debt. One of the things that one of my mentors said many years ago is, if you can't pay back your debt, you don't go to jail. I was like, oh, you're right. Because you actually take away one of the little shadows that are lurking in the background of fear, knowing that if you don't pay it back and everything's above board,
no fraudulent activity.
You don't go to jail. You just probably suffer a little bit of embarrassment. So if you understand that, you can start to take away a little bit of the fear around debt. Because for me, the idea of people getting to debt is often the biggest barrier they need to overcome. And I always talk about that story with the little kids playing in the playground. One of the kids looks really sad. His mate goes to him, "What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "We're so poor. My dad owes the bank $5,000. And the kid who's got the smile on his face says, "Oh, we're so rich, we owe the bank $5 million. And it really just comes down to understanding that there's horrible, tolerable, and productive debt. And horrible debt is stuff that goes down in value. Tolerable debt is typically the mortgage for your house. You're the only one paying it off. At least there's some future value. And then productive debt is what most of the wealthy people do in this country, and they leverage income-producing assets using debt.
Yeah, and I mean, Walt Disney went broke twice. He went bankrupt twice before he got Disneyland and the whole Disney corporation up and running to the thing that is today. So I think there's no harm in failure. In fact, it's probably, you know, one of the key stepping stones to results. I mean, yep, I sold a property when I was young, shouldn't have done it, got bad advice, but now I know to stop others from doing that. So for me, I still think hard work in terms of working on you as a person is really important. And when I say hard work, that doesn't mean long hours. I do long hours, but that's because I'm passionate about what I do. So everyone says, you know, God, you work hard. And so you call this work? I'm living the dream. You know, I'm absolutely living the dream in something that I'm really passionate about. And I'm trying to be the best that I can be at it. So, you know, mindset is everything. In terms of that. So whether it's mindset around money control, mindset around personal belief, mindset around, you know, realizing your deficiencies and seeking others to help build those out and then, you know, accelerate that journey. I mean, again, I didn't get to the advisor that I am today without going on the journey, without going to hundreds of seminars and listening to to many speakers and separating the wheat from the chaff. That's pretty much how I did it.
Agreed. Doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, as long as you keep getting back up. There you have it, folks. We threw in a quick Q&A at the end of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Investors. So if you enjoyed that, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with your friends, going onto our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Instagram, and just liking it, forwarding it to your friends, that'd be great so we can continue to get this message out. During the week, Ben and I were on, Ben was on ABC News 24, got some really great stuff. They always ask the question, are we in a bubble? So we answered that very, very well. I was on the Today Show on the weekend, so there's a clip that we're going to put up on the website. They also asked me about the bubble as well, so that you can go and get those. But if you get a chance to go to thepropertycouch.com.au and leave us a review, they are very, very helpful for us so that we can continue to get this message out to more people who we can help make good decisions around property investment. So Ben, we got through a fair bit today. I think there was some nuggets of gold there.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It was a good session. And again, property investment is part of a moving story of the person and the household. So that's what I like about these types of segments, in doing these types of ones, as opposed to just making it all about the analysis. It's about bringing it all back into what it is, which is real people making real decisions about money and how there's frameworks in which they can do that.
Exactly, mate. Habit one, be proactive. Habit two, begin with the end in mind. Habit three, put first things first. Habit four, think win-win. Habit five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Habit six is synergize. And habit seven, sharpen the saw. Until next week, mate.
Why don't you give us one, Bryce?
I don't know if I could. I don't know. The only one I could do without notice is probably Japanese. Oh. Sayonara.
Sayonara.
There you go, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
See you, folks.
Bye.